Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast. We're your hosts, Greg and Rachel Denning, and today, marriage is what brings us together today.
Marriage.
For those of you who may not catch that reference, it's that famous line from Princess Bride, excellent classic movie. Yeah. And we are going to talk about marriage, and we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty and nuts and bolts of why some marriages aren't working. And they become dysfunctional. And ultimately, at least from my perspective, most of the time we're making it, it is hard. Marriage is tough. Living with another human being is tough. Living with a human being with the opposite sex is tough. But we're making it way tougher than it needs to be.
Right. And maybe instead of saying marriage is hard, we should say marriage is work. Because... No way around it. It's going to be work. You can't just expect to... I think you can't get married or have been married for a while and expect that your marriage is going to get better unless you do the work of becoming better yourself, right? And ultimately changing. And as we'll talk about today, influencing your spouse,
right?
And inspiring your spouse to change. But all of that is hard work. So when you say hard, that's essentially what you mean. It's hard work.
Hard work, yep.
Whether you have a great marriage or a terrible marriage, it's going to either be hard or it's going to be work. But you're not getting out of either of those.
Well, right. And one is going to be just unbelievably miserable, and the other has potential for phenomenal bliss and joy.
But not without a lot of
happiness.
Work.
You got to put in the work. And I think you bring up such an important point, and it all starts with a mental framework of, hey, I got to work for this.
Yeah.
Every good thing in life takes good hard work. Like, you know, I think most people want to be healthy. They want to be happy. They want a good marriage.
To be wealthy.
They want wealth. But I would also say that most people grossly underestimate the effort and work it takes to achieve those things.
Yeah.
And maybe we, you know, They never knew. They weren't taught that. And we see all these movies, and
seen it modeled,
right? And you're like, well, man, look at this movie or this book. Like, they got married, they fell in love, and like, that was it, happily ever after. And that's not the case. It's like, oh no, they worked hard ever after,
yeah.
And that's how they got happily ever after. It's because they worked hard ever after. And I don't want the work. Even as we're starting right now, some of you are getting discouraged. You're like, oh man, it's going to take so much work.
Well, in
but
some
it gets
ways,
easier and better, and the work becomes more.
It can be enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's definitely rewarding,
and sometimes even more tolerable.
Yeah,
you're like, yeah, this is still work.
But and I think in some ways maybe it's just human nature. We're inherently lazy. We want the easy path. We want the easy way. But unfortunately, like the Buddha says, there are only two paths. One of the paths is the easy path that leads to all the outcomes you don't want. It's easier, but it also brings you everything you hate, right? The harder path, the other path, is harder. It's way more work and effort, but it brings you to everything that you dream of. Those are the only paths in life. So,
and maybe it's the same path, but a different direction. For many, many years, I've tried to see that life is lived on an incline, and either we're putting in the effort to ascend, or when we stop, we just slowly slide back down. It's like you're on a sand volcano, and it just kind of just slowly slides back down. If you don't keep climbing, you're descending, and nobody has ever coasted to the top of anything.
Yes.
And the same is true with marriage.
Right. Now, I know some of you listening are saying, well, I've been putting in the work. I've been doing the things. I've been listening to your podcast. I've been making the effort. And my spouse is not. My spouse is not motivated. My spouse doesn't want to change, or they make an effort, but then give up. They get tired of it. We know people personally and have heard of people that are just like, well, what's the point? I'd rather just enjoy my life, take the easier path, because it's easier, right? And it's also deceiving too, because we don't always feel like we're on a decline. We don't always feel like we're getting bad results. We're thinking, well, what? Yeah, so I eat some junk food, or I take it easy, or I'm not fully investing in my marriage, or I'm not pursuing things hard, but life's good. I've got good things going on. So what do I need to worry about? Why do I have to put in so much effort when I don't see that much of a difference either way? And I think
just hearing you say that is making me nauseated. I can't think of anything worse than an okay life.
What comes to my mind, well, and a lot of people could argue that it's not just an okay life. It's a great life. It's a good life. But what comes to my mind is this clear image I have, and you should look it up. It's called The Slight Edge. And there's a book by that name. And if you look up The Slight Edge diagram, it will show you that essentially there's this principle that you make choices every single day, and they are leading you on these paths. As we said, one of them is an incline and one of them is a decline, but the results tend to be exponential, meaning that
they're delayed.
Linearly, if that's even a word in how you say it, it looks about the same. The person putting in the effort and the person not putting in the effort seem to be doing about the same. But as time goes on, their paths diverge greatly, exponentially, so that one suddenly seems to make all of these improvements and the other seems to suffer horribly. And you think, wow, what happened? It's been the small, seemingly inconsequential choices over time that has led to those exponential results. Now, the problem is we never know when that time is coming. And it often comes after years and years sometimes of stacking.
Of compounding and stacking. It's just exactly. Building up. And it builds in both directions.
Right.
Where an irritation just becomes more and more irritable until where before it was just kind of annoying, and then it becomes explosive, fighting.
Excruciating.
Oh, it's horrible. And then on the other side, it's just like, oh, that was a nice touch. And that was a nice touch. And over years, you're like, gosh, I love this person so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so in love, because it was all those little things that stack up to be this huge pile of love.
Right. So to begin, I think as we discuss this topic and different strategies we can use, we have to understand that unless we ourselves and our spouse can get this vision of what we're talking about, the slight edge. And I really encourage you to, because it's a podcast, I can't show you the diagram, right? You should Google it and look at what I'm talking about. That if you can't grasp the picture of the long-term consequences of these choices, then you don't realize the potential disaster you're facing unless you are willing to take the right path and do the work. And ultimately, that's it. Like, you have to help your spouse get the picture that there are two paths, and that's it. We can either be working on our marriage, or we're working on our divorce. We can either be working on becoming incredible parents, or we're working on sucking as parents. We can either be working on getting wealthier, or we're working on being broke and poor. That's it. And there are no other options.
It's one or the other. If you're not working on your marriage, then by default, you are working on your divorce.
Right. And so essentially the entire message of The Extraordinary Family Life is not do extreme things to get extreme outcomes. It's like, do these efforts so that you are not on the path that eventually leads to all the things you don't want, because that is the default. The default is that path. The do nothing is that path. The be passive, that's that path.
Yeah. Or the do little.
Or do little.
You're saying do nothing. And they're like, well, I don't do nothing. I'm a good person. I'm a good, for the men, I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. I'm a good provider. But good, good, good. But small effort, or even normal effort, won't cut it. I'm sorry to break that to you.
Well, and that,
sorry, not sorry. Normal effort won't cut it. It just can't. And you're going to end up with mediocre results.
Yes, because it reminds me of, we did a Tony Robbins seminar thing. Well, during 2020, actually. And I remember very vividly him saying that it used to be that if you, you know, made normal efforts, you would get good results. And if you made good efforts, you would get great results. And if you made great efforts, you'd get extraordinary results. He's like, that's not true anymore. The world has changed. One, because of technology and how easy it is to just simply get distracted and lost in whatever. That also has an effect on our children and our parenting. Unless you put in extraordinary efforts, you are not getting.
Right. You're going to get crap results.
You're going to get crap results. Pretty much every other level there is getting you crap results.
Yep.
Because it's just not as easy anymore to get those types of results. It used to be because of the way just the world was, you know? And it's not that way anymore. No.
And now, lest some of you are already getting discouraged, saying, thank you, Dennings, for another depressing episode. I want to give you some encouragement, because I get to talk to people every single day. I get to do coaching every day. And I often get to talk to people and meet with people who are like, they're exhausted. They're like, I am working so hard and I'm absolutely exhausted. And you're telling me that it's more effort and it's more work. I'm out. I can't do it. And the encouragement I want to give is that we're often, to no fault of your own, you're just doing it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting in all this effort
into the wrong thing,
or you're just holding the tool. You don't have the right tool, or you're holding the tool wrong.
A
hammer instead of a nail gun, or a screwdriver. I had to do this yesterday because we left our drill at our new place, and I was pulling out these really difficult screws with a screwdriver. I'm like, man, this is hard.
This is really hard work.
My forearms are burning, and this is so slow. I was most annoyed by the slowness of it.
Like,
this is retarded.
Well, even if you had a power drill,
hold on. You had a power drill, and I just held it at the wrong angle, just a slightly different angle, mm-hmm. It's just going to strip the screw. And so then I have a bigger problem, because now I've got a screw in there. It won't go in, won't go out, and I've just stripped the thing just because I was at the angle. And you're like, I've been pushing and pushing. I've been trying and trying, and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have somebody come in, a coach come in, and say, well, just lift it a little bit like this. Oh, look at that. Whoom.
Wow, it works.
So what we're telling you is this effort, just a little bit of tweaking and adjustment, the effort you're giving will produce massive results,
right,
as long as you're holding the lever or the lever, is however you say it, however you want to say it. As long as you're holding that right and using it right, you take the same amount of effort and you're going to produce massive results.
Right. And I love this analogy, because if we say, let's use it, saying that we're building a house or something. And in some ways, we're talking about, hey, you've got to be extraordinary and you've got to build not just one dream house, but like 10 of them. And you're thinking, here I am with my screwdriver and you want me to build 10 houses?
That's insane.
But you're right. Once you get the right tools and then learn how to use them the right way, all of a sudden you can do that so much faster. And so it'll still take you time to build that one house, but then building 10 houses is no longer impossible. It's doable and it's still a lot of work, but you've learned how to work harder and smarter, so that it's easier to do than you had previously imagined. And in fact, was physically impossible if you try to do all of it with your screwdriver, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. Yes, it's going to be work and you're going to have to do a lot of it, but you're going to learn how to do it more effectively and efficiently so that it's possible. Where the way you're doing it now, it literally is impossible.
It is impossible, yeah. And you may not be able to see it. You're sitting inside your own conflict. You're sitting inside your own marriage and feeling so much pain and so much frustration. And you have been trying for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your mind, look, we've been trying for years. It's not working. This sucks. It's just a whole. And where we get to meet with couples, and we work with couples all over the world, like you walk in and you look at it, you're like, oh, it's this and that. Just stop doing that. Start doing this, tweak this. And wow, there's your problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I walked into, we have a good friend who's just a phenomenal chiropractor. And they invited us over to their house. We went over to stay for a little while. And I walked in, and he's like, "Man, is it your right knee or your right hip? What's up?" And And like, he just saw me walk up his walkway and through the front door. And he's like, something's off here. And he had an adjustment table right in his front room. He's like, here, sit over here. Crack, 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 crack. And he could tell just by watching me walk through his door, he could tell that something's off and where I was hurting. And I was. And he straightened me out, adjusted me there. And I was like, oh man, I feel so much better. He's a master. He's a master. He could literally watch me walk and be like, oh, that's where you're off. There's some pain in your life. And so we want to do that same thing here and say, hey, there's some pain in your marriage. You can't see it. You can't really tell. You've been
Or
trying, but it's
you
not.
can feel
Yeah, you can feel the pain. You know it's there, but you don't know
the
what to
source,
do
or
or how to adjust it, get the vehicle. So should we read the question? We got an awesome question and want to have this be kind of a catalyst for elements of this conversation.
Okay, wondering if you have advice for someone who's been trying to pour everything into their life and marriage to make it extraordinary, but the spouse is not showing up and being the man as Greg has defined. If they try, they will relapse. Or it seems like it's the bare minimum and that this has been going on for years and it feels like it's holding me back from our extraordinary life or the potential. Wondering your thoughts on handling situations like this when it feels like you've tried everything and you've given it time.
Thank you. Great question. Really great question. I remember thinking like that often, particularly that phrase, I've tried everything. I remember thinking like that. And I remember actually saying that multiple times. I've tried everything. This doesn't
Well,
work.
I think especially when we were like trying to build our business
Yeah.
and trying to,
Well, all of the businesses we quote tried to build.
Exactly.
And that ultimately the problem was us, me in particular.
Well, I
And
think.
saying that I tried everything. That's an interesting one, and it kind of hurts because you feel like you generally feel like you have tried everything, but the truth is you haven't. And I realized that, too late for some of our businesses. I'm like, we tried everything, it just didn't work. And later on I realized, I hadn't even started trying. I hadn't even gotten close to the first attempts of a baby. And yet, in my mind, I thought I was giving Herculean effort.
Well, that is one of the challenges with a statement like this because, in reality, through experience, we've discovered that when you say you've tried everything, all that means is you've tried everything you currently know of.
Exactly.
That's it. And
For most of us,
often,
that's a very small
yeah,
list.
for most of us, unless we have done tons of research, tons of experience, had lived a long time, even that doesn't always happen because just because you're older doesn't mean you're wiser. We often don't know what we don't know. So trying everything only means you've only tried everything you know of.
Within
And
your current
so,
limits, yeah.
yeah. And so the answer always is to expand your horizons, to expand your understanding, to expand your skill set.
And your effectiveness with what you're trying, kind of back to the tool metaphor, we say, well, you should try this tool, and you're like, oh, I did, I tried that.
I
Well,
used a drill.
okay, how did you use it? Well, I just put it up there and pull the trigger. Like, okay, let's see that. And then you can see, you're like, oh, that's why. Yes, you did try that, but you weren't doing it right, so it didn't work. Because, and again, I used to do that too. I'm like, oh, I tried that. And we'll do this. Well, I did that too, and it didn't work. And then later I realized, oh, I was totally doing that wrong. Let me share a perfect example I heard in a book yesterday I was listening to. He was trying to market his business. His business was just absolutely dying, limping along. They were broke. And he talked to a mentor, and the mentor's like, man, I use flyers. Like, I go out and I put out flyers. I just put out loads of flyers and I get all kinds of business. And so they're like, yeah, that's it. I'm gonna go do flyers. So he went down, he designed it, they went and printed out 300 flyers and went and put, 300 flyers on car, and they stuck them in the windshield wiper, right? This whole parking lot. And they were just like, dude, we put out 300. That's legit. I'm gonna go home. I'm waiting for my phone to just ring. And they wait and they wait and wait. The next day they get one call and they're like, here it is, it's coming. And it was some guy's like, I think you guys scratched my Mercedes. And he's like, oh crap. It's like that was the only call they ever got from those 300 things. And he's like, that's crap. His stupid idea doesn't work. I put 300 flyers out and I only call I got was some guy was mad. Like, what a dumb idea, right? And then I think it was like a week later or something. He was talking. He was like, "Hey, how are things going?" He's like, "Well, not very good." He's like, "Why?" He's like, "Well, I tried your flyer method, and it didn't work." He's like, "Really? It always works for me." He's like, "Well, how many did you put out?" He said, "I put out 300, man." And the guy's like, "Oh, oh, that's funny." He's like, "We put out 5,000 as our first test, and if we even get a few calls, then we do 5,000 per day." And this guy's mind was just absolutely blown.
Right.
He thought he had done this Herculean effort with putting out 300 flyers. And his mentor said, no, 5,000 is our test. Mm-hmm. And if we get any sign of life, we do 5,000 per day. And that's, I mean, that's a metaphor for what we're talking about here. You think, well, I tried that. Well, how long? Like 2 whole weeks. Like, I did the dishes every day for 2 weeks. And she was like, well, thanks. But, like, it didn't change anything. And I'm like,
what? How many years have you not been doing the dishes?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Like, hold on, bro. You've been not doing the dishes for years and years and years. And now you put in this, you know, what you think is this great effort of 2 weeks every day. And you're so tired and your hands are sore and raw and waterlogged from all your hard work in the kitchen. You're like, you haven't even started.
Right.
You haven't even started. So,
well, with I think that, that's one point too, is that we have to remember this is a long game. Like, you're married for life. That should first of all be the standard. Like, this is a lifelong commitment. We're in it. So whatever you do, it's going to be a long game. And that may not be encouraging because you want results next week. But the point is, you can't just try everything and then be like, I'm done here. You have to keep trying. You have to keep reiterating. You have to keep changing your strategy and your approach. And you're like, it just goes on. And, you know, that's been true for us as well. We have definitely done that, both of us. In that this is a long game. We are in it for the long run. And so we just continue to improve our strategy and approach, especially, you know, as it relates to influencing one another.
Well, and that's,
you can't just give up on it.
Yeah, that's where how do I adequately articulate this? If you're trying to get a result just for yourself, you can put in a certain amount of effort and you get the result. But if you're trying to get a result for yourself and influence another person next to you, mm-hmm. the effort and the energy has to be even greater. Where you've heard Rachel and I talk about this all the time. You have to bring in the tide. You have to be the tide. You have to bring in so much water into the bay, it lifts all the boats in the harbor. Mm-hmm. You have to be the tide. And there's no way you can be the tide with a puny little effort.
Right.
Let's go back to the dishes or the diapers or whatever.
A limited effort. Like, it literally has to just be your way of being. That's why I love you saying that. It just becomes your way of being.
So instead of, well, I'll give it a try. I'll do the dishes for 2 weeks and see if it makes a difference. You just think, man, it's so important to her to do the dishes. Like, I'm going to make sure either I do them or someone's going to do them. I'm going to make sure they're done for the rest of our marriage. Like, done. Right? Like, and maybe that's not the best example, but that's the mindset I'm talking about. Right. Is it becomes your way of being.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's important to Rachel. Well, done. That's
I'm going
who
to be
I
that
am.
Person. Yeah.
Exactly.
I am
so
the dish doer.
the greatest thing that can be done in your marriage is to change yourself. You have to be the change.
Yes.
And it's simultaneously hard and easy. Sometimes you say, man, it's so hard to change yourself. And yet when you do it, you're like, that wasn't that hard. Ultimately, it was a decision. Like, I'm just going to stop doing that. If after years, you finally catch your wife's hints that she gets really annoyed by the things you're doing, just stop. And once you decide, you're like, oh, well, it wasn't even that big of a deal. I just stopped doing that.
Well, and I think that just to add to that for a minute, the way the way to do that is to get the paradigm shift or framework shift so that in your mind that suddenly now becomes, you know, irrelevant because you understand the importance it has. Once you get that perspective shift, it makes change easy. Because when you understand what role it plays in your life or doesn't play, then it's easy to do or not do the things that actually matter.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So back to this excellent question. Like, I'm doing everything. I've been doing it for years. And her husband's just not being the man. He's just not stepping up. Ultimately, this is such a challenging conversation because ultimately each individual is responsible to become the very best version of themselves. It is his responsibility to be the man, to be a world-class husband and father and businessman, a protector, provider, just to be a man. That's on him. And one of the best things you could do, genuinely, I'm not just trying to self-promote here, is to get him into my masterclass and tribe. That's literally what we do every time we meet. We met again yesterday and we just go over like tools and strategy, tactics, support to literally level up as men. And there's so much power there, and it's much easier. Every man needs a tribe, and it is so much easier for men to call each other out and encourage each other to level up. And it's more easily received from men and from an outside source, from a tribe, than it is from a wife.
Yes.
A wife's words can be really painful. If a wife says, hey, you need to do that better, it stings. Where if Greg Denning says, dude, knock that off, you need to do that better, he's like, yeah, you're right, I'll do it.
Right.
Where at home, he's like, what? You don't respect me. What? I do all this stuff for you and all you. It gets defensive and problematic.
And I think that, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think that this comes to a potentially very important point in a dynamic like this, because we've seen it many times in your coaching clients and other situations where it becomes this sabotaging circle that goes around and around and around, where the wife is disrespecting the husband, at least according to his perspective. And as a result, he's not meeting her needs or living up to her expectations because he feels disrespected, and around it goes.
Yep.
In this downward spiral.
He begins to behave in
even worse. More the way
she
behaves.
Which is so ironic. Exactly. And
yeah.
He's like, well, I'm not respected, so I'm going to behave like an idiot. And so then he loses more respect, so she gives him less respect, and around it goes.
And nags him more, even if she doesn't define it as nagging, that you need to be better, you need to raise up, you need to be the man. And he continues then to act in more defeating ways. And so it becomes this cycle of destruction. So the answer in those situations is you have to put a stop to that cycle. You have to change it. Now, I've recommended it before. I will continue to recommend it. But all women, all wives need to read The Empowered Wife by Lara Doyle. It will literally give you exactly the tools that you need, the very tools that we use all the time in our coaching. But she's outlined it in a very clear way, a very powerful way, and it tells you how to influence your husband in a way so that he wants to do the things that you want him to do. Like, he chooses to do it because he wants to please you, because you're now treating him in ways that inspire him to do that instead of nagging him into doing it, which just doesn't work.
Exactly. So even though this is hard to hear, it needs to be said. You, listener, are often involved in what's called collusion. Like, you're somehow subconsciously or inadvertently creating the very thing you don't want. So to the individual asking the question even, and to everybody else listening, there are things your spouse is doing or not doing that you are directly or indirectly contributing to.
Yeah.
That you're not aware of it, but your actions or inactions, your reactions are literally creating the thing you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nagging or the silent treatment or the cold shoulder or whatever, or your little hinting or these little games we play. It's actually creating the very thing you don't want.
Well, and even if it's not this game you're playing or what you think, you're just doing it in a very normal, natural way. It can be, one, your total misunderstanding of men and how they work, or vice versa, yep, women and how they work, or whatever else that are, like you're saying, causing or contributing to the problem. You might think, well, this is normal. This is how I interact with people. This is, and for whatever reason, that just doesn't work for him. Yeah. That just doesn't work for your spouse. And so we have to learn, going back to the drill analogy or the power tool analogy, we have to learn how to make those tweaks so that you're doing the same thing in a way, but you're doing it in a better way or a slightly different way that make all the difference, yeah, when it comes to our relationship.
Exactly. A perfect example of this that I see often is men going into the workplace and they're working with men predominantly, and they interact with men and they engage with men in certain ways, and it works. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I know it works.
I know how to work with people.
And I, yeah, exactly. I know how to work with people. And so he goes home and he tries that with his wife.
And it doesn't have the same effect
at all. And he's like, what the heck? Like, this is off. I do this all the time at work, and it works. And I'm going to go home. And so he keeps persisting and pushing. He's like, this works other places. Like, I'm going to push. And it doesn't work. And it might be that you're trying things that work with, in a masculine sense, don't work with feminine.
Or with kids.
Or with children. And things that work in the workplace don't work at home. Or whatever. Like, you're trying to push things. You're like, well, I know how to run a business, so I'll run my home like a business. But that won't work. And so it's these little strategies, little mindsets that are creating the problem.
Yes.
So exactly. Back to answer the questions, like, well, I'm doing everything. I don't even want to, you know, I don't even know what to do. How do we go forward when it's just feel like he's not leveling up? And yes, he needs to level up. But one of the things that you can do is massively level up yourself. And that's going to draw him upward. It's going to call him, propel him, compel him, inspiring, motivate him, sting a little.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a kick in the pants to get things going.
Well, and this is always the hard part when we are talking with couples or working with couples, answering questions like this, is because we know both parties are guilty.
Yep.
But it often feels like, from your perspective, the one in the relationship, that you really are doing the best you can and you don't know how to do any better. But, and while that's true, I believe that that's true from the limited, and I say limited not in a denigrating way, the limited knowledge you have, you are doing the best you can. But I also know, we know from experience, that 99% of the time, you are doing something that's causing or contributing to the problem. Hands down, that's what's happening. So if you can change that thing, you will begin to change the problem. And you will then begin, because of your actions, to inspire them, not by what you're telling them to do, but through your own actions of changing and no longer being annoying and irritating to them, because that's kind of what's happening, is that whatever you're doing is irritating them, which causes them to be irritating to you. Round and round it goes.
Well, that's one scenario, or just conditioning in another way, but keep going.
That once you start to make those changes, it inspires them to want to do the same, because ultimately they do love you. They married you. They care about you. They don't want to not be the person that you respect or admire. They want to be that person. And so once we get out of the way, it gives them the freedom to fulfill their potential.
I love that. One scenario that runs parallel with that, I can just totally see this happening because I've heard it so many times. It's just this subtle conditioning. It's subtle, almost training, where, let's just play something out hypothetically. The husband comes home, he's been working hard. He comes home, he's exhausted. Like, oh man, I just gotta have some downtime. And I got to relax a little bit. And wife's like, yeah, me too. I'm tired. Let's just, we could go for a walk, or we could just, no. Let's just sit on the couch and let's talk. And so that becomes kind of a normal thing. And then let's just kick on an episode or a movie, and then kick on a movie. And then over time, what happens is that the training, the conditioning is, let's come home, let's sit down, let's be physically lazy and even mentally, emotionally lazy, because we're going to do something very passive, like watch a show or something. And so that becomes the pattern. Well, over time, what happens, and this is so important to understand this concept, over time, what happens is that leads to just a fundamental inherent laziness, lack of drive, lack of ambition, lack of activity. And it just starts to condition that. And then after time passes, the very thing you wanted was like, well, no, come sit down with me and let's just be here. And then that turns into a very sedentary, unmotivated, undriven man, for example. So yeah, this guy now is like, and then you know, a couple of years later, you're like, oh, my husband doesn't, he's not driven, he's not ambitious, he's not chasing things, he's kind of lazy, and he loves to just, you know, look, be on his phone or watch movies or, you know, sports, and he's gotten overweight now, and he's not really doing anything. And it's like, well, yeah, that's the conditioning that's happened. That's the habits, that's the patterns that are built in there. So I'm training, we have, Rachel hates my dogs, but I love my dogs. I absolutely love my dogs. They're Cane Corsos, Italian Mastiffs. They're just spectacular dogs. We have hired a phenomenal trainer to train them at the highest level possible. And today during the training, we were talking about that, and he's like, look, this, your dog has the potential in its DNA and its breeding and in its structure and creation, has the potential to just be this absolutely phenomenal athletic dog that's capable of incredible things. But if you enclose it in a small yard, you feed it just tons of whatever, and you don't take it on walks, you don't train it, you don't push its limits, you don't stretch its problem-solving abilities, its physical stamina. Like today, we were giving him really challenging puzzles. Like I was going around through these gates that weren't obvious, and I was going in different places, and he had to try to find me. He had to try to get to me. And I was calling him, and he was like, I don't know how to get to you. We kept giving him difficult puzzles to solve. So we were exercising his mind, and then we just wrestled to really exercise his bite work and his stamina, and we're pushing all his limits. And the trainer's like, if you leave your dog just doing nothing, he'll become very incapable. He'll be fat and lazy. It won't be very intelligent. And even though he has all of the potential in his DNA, it's untapped. It's completely untapped. And so you have this dog that like it barks and it, you know, does its thing and it's just there, but it's all this untapped potential trapped in this dog. He says, if you take the dog and you push it mentally and physically and emotionally, all its capabilities that's written into his DNA are finally unlocked, but only with training and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing is true with us. Like all the power and glory and wonder of a woman can only be unlocked if we tap into the potential.
Mm-hmm.
All the strength and stamina and power of a man can only be unlocked if we stretch physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially. If we're training to those limits.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of us in marriage can barely run a little 5K. Our marriage stamina, our marriage strength, our marriage IQ is so small, so underdeveloped, so weak that we're just dying. We're just panting and breathing. Like, this is so hard. I'm dying. Where you might have somebody that in a kind of marriage stamina, they're running ultra marathons.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing 100-mile races, and you're like, "God, you guys are married. You guys are so lucky. Your marriage is just amazing."
Right.
Like, well, you know, you've built up your marriage IQ, your marriage stamina. You've tapped into the potential,
yeah.
Instead of leaving it dormant. So I guess
you've had different conditioning. So
yes.
in a way, you should think about it like that. It's your marriage training. And this applies to, you know, your life, your parenting, like. You have to have different sort of training, which yeah. means you have to have different sort of activities and interactions and problem solving. And the more of that you take on and pursue, the more potential can be untapped. But if you're right, if we just do the same things every single day and have the same routines and then wonder why, you know, especially our spouse doesn't do more or want more, well, what else is there? Someone has to be the catalyst to say, like, hey, let's go do this. Let's do that. Let's go here. Let's go here. And if they're not willing to do it with you to start, you do it.
Exactly.
Because that then, like you're talking about, becomes who you are, your way of being. And then you bring the tide, especially if you combine that with strategies like the 6 Intimacy Secrets from Laura Doyle. She should pay me for promoting her, I think. But she just has, when I've read her book, I just thought, yes, exactly. This is stuff I've been living and teaching for years. And she just has it laid out so clearly that I'm like, read her book.
Yep.
But you use those strategies and it just makes a huge difference. One of the things I love that she says, and I know that this is geared towards both sexes, but I think it's true though. The podcast, our episode is, her book is geared towards women. And I think it's true that she says, women are the driving force in the level of happiness in their marriage. And a lot of women don't believe that because they don't see that to be true. They think, I'm not happy because of my husband. Yep. He's the driving force.
Yep.
But that's why I love what she teaches, because she shows you how to change that so that he is driven to make you happy, because men are driven to make women happy.
Yep.
That's what they want to do. They want to make you happy. They want to fulfill your dreams. They want to provide. They want to do all the things you want them to do. But unless we learn how to help them do that the right way, we're literally just sabotaging. And we are causing our own unhappiness.
Yep. And I always teach my men that men are 100% responsible for the happiness in their marriage.
Yes.
And both are absolutely true.
Yes. True.
And when you lean in and get after it, it's amazing. I guess one of the things you have to drive home is one of the most painful and difficult questions to ask is, how am I contributing to the problem? And when you ask that and then make those changes, you become this catalyst for change. And it starts to create, well, it starts stacking wins and stacking things in the right direction. And making big moves. So the questions that come in is like, what can I do? And we even got a question for our daughters, like, well, what if only one person is working in the marriage? Like, what do you think about that? Is it possible if just one of the spouses is wanting to make change? And absolutely, yes, 100%. Because you, by leveling up, you're changing the equation. The equation of your marriage is already better because you're leveling up. But you guys, like, I don't know how to emphasize this enough. You have to fundamentally become a different person, a better version of you. So you're still you. You're just exponentially better. You don't. Here's a perfect example. We see couples who are fighting over the stupidest things. It's so small, so insignificant. Where I think I'm just baffled. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're fighting with the person you love the most in this world, the one you like. Hitched yourself to, that you committed to for life, and you're fighting over that? Are you kidding me? And we get bothered by small things. So right there, we just have to stop. Let's make a fundamental change. Like, I'm no longer going to be bothered by small things.
Well, done. And part of the reason, I mean, we understand that part of the reason people fight over quote unquote small things is because it's not about the thing. It's right. Just the last straw on a whole stack of things.
Yep.
And so it's literally just a trigger that's reminding you of XYZ, all the things that are stacked.
Yep.
And so when we learn how to uncover all of those things and ultimately, like you were talking about, improve ourselves, make ourselves better, heal from our own wounds, so to say, you know, get rid of our own baggage, then we become less triggered by the small things. Exactly. Because we've dealt with it. We've handled it. We've addressed it. And now we're like, oh, well, that no longer bothers me because I've healed from that thing. And that's very often what's happening in these fights, besides the fact that we are sabotaging ourselves, like I talked about already, by doing things that are contributing to the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the formula I want to share that has worked for us. It's worked for so many people we worked with over the last couple of decades. It just works. So most people start looking for marriage help. Maybe they'll listen to this podcast, they'll read a book or something because they're really upset with something their spouse is doing. And you think, ugh, my spouse, And that drives you to start looking. But the first place is to stop right there. Just stop right there and say, okay, well, good. It brought you to awareness. It brought you a desire to want to improve your marriage. That's great. That's fantastic. But stop right there. The first thing you do is just sit down and say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I change? How can I change to make my marriage better? That's the very first place, the most fundamental place to start. What can I do to make my marriage better? And I'll sit down and I'll make a list. And you're like, you know what? Man, I know right away I can do this. I know that Rachel has hinted or said for a long time that she hates when I do that. So I can stop doing that. And she's often asked me to do that. So I can do that. And I start going through, and usually it's pretty, you know, it might be even be a small list, but I'm like, I can do those things. And I start doing them immediately. Then the second list is, what do I want my spouse to do? That's usually going to be a bigger list. and that list is not, okay, this one's tricky. The list of things you want your spouse to do isn't for you to give to your spouse and try to get your spouse to do. It's only leading to the third list, which is the most important list. What can I do to help my spouse do the things I want them to do? And ultimately, it's the first list and the third list that has all the power for you. Because mm-hmm. it's things you know you need to do, and then the things you can do to help your spouse become a better person.
Yes. And I would say on the third list, you're often not going to know. Because if you knew, you'd already be doing it. So you're not going to know how to help your spouse do the second list. So in that case, what you do is, I mean, the thing we've taught for years is input determines output. You have got to get some new input into your mind and heart about how to influence your spouse and do work on that third list.
Yep.
And I mean, as a minimum, I mean, this should just be a standard for everyone. I wish this was the standard for school. Every single person needs to at least read 3 to 10 or more books on every part of the subject you want to improve. So when that comes to marriage, you need to read 3 to 10 books at least about sex, communication, influence, relationships, men. Anything related to the main issues you're dealing with, you know, and you've got to identify those. Are you having a hard time communicating? Well, let's study that. What about having influence on people? Let's study that. What about sex? Let's study that. You need to be reading these books on these topics. We can't just expect that we're going to somehow figure out life and marriage and relationships without studying it. It's just impossible.
And yet I hear people say that, like, I don't need to read some stupid book like about being married.
Yeah, I forget.
I know how to be married. Gosh, you think I'm an idiot?
I forget that there are people out there still that are
lots
like afraid or resistant to self-help. I don't understand that. I've never been that person. I don't know. Like, it's almost like since I was young, I was just interested in self-help, and it's probably unique. But it makes a difference. All of us need help. All of us need self-help, personal development. And studying these topics, guess what? They work. The input we put into our mind produces different outputs into our life.
Yep.
So that's where you go next.
Whether your marriage is great and you want to make it greater, or your marriage is in a lot of pain and you need to save it, I would say a minimum 30 minutes a day inside a good book about marriage.
And that can be on Audible too. Yep. You can listen to it. You
listen
don't have to sit down
read.
And read.
And a warning though, there are some out there that are absolutely horrible.
Yes.
They're terrible. They give horrendous advice.
Terrible advice.
About marriage, about parenting, about
that, like, can destroy
are
your
you
marriage.
Kidding me. That is the worst advice I've ever ever heard. Don't ever do that. We have a list. We both have book lists, and there's a lot of great books that are worth reading. In fact, I would say there's 5 to 10 phenomenal books you could just read again and again and again and again and again. If it were me, and I think this is maybe the most effective way to go about this. Like, if it was me and I was in this situation, I would order immediately. I would order 5 to 10 books, and me. This is me personally. I would. So let's say I'm unhappy with our marriage. It's struggling. Like it's either flatlining, it's painful, or it's dying. That to me is like, this is urgent.
Yeah.
This is critical. Like this is
triage.
You're heading to the emergency room. Like either you get dead serious about this or it's dying. And like you said, almost at the beginning of the episode, Rachel, we have to walk up and face the abyss. If I do not change, if I don't stop this, it's going to a very, very ugly place.
Well, because ultimately there's only two paths.
Yeah.
There really are. There are only two paths.
And so maybe you need to walk over the edge and just look in with your imagination and be like, okay, I'll do anything to stay out of that. So then come back. And my commitment, if it were me, a minimum, absolute minimum of 1 hour a day, no exceptions, inside a great marriage book. And I'm going to go through all those 5 to 10 books, and then I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to make a list of the things I know annoy the crap out of you that you're so angry about. And I would go ask you, even if it was so painful to me, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to be like, Rachel, what can I do to help you? What can I do to be a better husband? What do you want me to stop doing? And I'm going to write those things down, and then I'm going to go gangbusters. Like, that is my religion. That's my religion. I'm going to study like crazy and get all those tools and strategies. I'm going to actually hire a coach. I would immediately hire a coach. I'm like, hey, give us some tools. Take a look under the hood here and tell us why this engine isn't working. And yeah. Then I'm going to do those things religiously. I will change. If my marriage was on the line, and part of it was my own doing, I am changing. I'm going to become a different person.
Well, and I want to add, because I don't think this has to apply only to a marriage that's on the line, because this may seem extreme to people, but this is the approach we take with life. Like, we really believe our marriage is on the line. Not that it is, it's amazing, but because we take that serious approach to it, like that ultra focused, ambitious approach, that's why it is great. We don't wait. One of our core philosophies is we don't wait until things get bad to make changes.
Yep.
We start when we see the slightest, you know, if you're talking about the two paths, the incline or the decline, the slightest decline, and we're like, oh,
whoa,
okay, we got to make some changes here. Yep. That's how long we wait. We don't wait until things get bad. We don't even wait for the decline.
Right. If we start slowing on the incline, you're like, whoa, right. What's going on?
Or turning to the side. Yeah, like, oh, man.
Who turned that way? Let's go. This is serious.
Right, exactly.
And we take it dead serious. So that's why we have the phenomenal results.
Right. And I think I'm going to share this because it's coming to my mind and I think it's important. You don't even know about this because I haven't told you about it yet. But there's this woman. Her name's Ruth Franke. And some of you may have know of her. She was a YouTube mom, and she had this channel. I think they had like 8 kids or something, and she's from Utah. She just got convicted for child abuse. Convicted. And I don't know the whole story. My computer reset. I got home the other night. You stayed at our new property, and it just started playing right on my computer that had turned off. And so I watched this, and it was so fascinating to me, because what happened is, there's a lot of things that happened, but one of the things that happened is she started listening to the wrong advice. She started taking advice from this life coach who literally destroyed her marriage because of the advice she gave her. She told her husband he had to leave because he was toxic and ruining their family. And then they started like tying up the kids and duct taping them and making them work all day long. I mean, it just went from bad to worse. Because partly what you said before, you know, be careful who you listen to, because there is bad advice out there. There really is. And if we're not careful, I mean, it seems extreme, but like I said, there are two paths. And you're either on the right path or you're on the wrong one. And I know that that seems hard and extreme, but I really believe that. And so we live that way. We live that way that every single day we're making sure we're on the right path, that we are doing the things that get results. And it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes or falter or get confused, but we pay attention to the signs. And when the signs are off, and like in this question, that is, it's a sign that something is off. And so kudos to you for, you know, asking the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we just have to make the tweaks. We have to make the changes. We have to keep making those iterations so that we can continue to move forward and to get the results that we want. And it is possible, but we just have to be diligent and we have to be careful. Because if you listen to the wrong person, you are going to get...
It's so ugly and so
sad. It can get ugly. And not that you're, even in this case, like I could tell she's not a bad person. She literally just got misled. And it's sad. And now she's been convicted on like 4 counts of child abuse or something. Yeah. So.
And that's just the beginning of all the misery that's happening behind the scenes. It's sad. So just change. And yes, I say it that simply. Just change. Like if you want to stay married,
like you love to say, you can't change destinations overnight, but you can change direction
immediately.
And when we're talking about the past, we can change direction now.
So if you've been descending, just stop right now, turn around, face uphill, and start climbing. And Rachel got this. She got a message recently, and she shared it with me
in my 28-day challenge community.
Yeah, where forum. We're just constantly giving tools and strategies for marriage and family, and. They've been married 21 years. And it's like this month has been like an absolute honeymoon, right? Just they're implementing these habits and strategies, and it's just transforming their marriage. And I read this, and like it makes me giddy and so happy.
I know.
It's like, yes, you're doing it. Just it's all working. You have to do. We know it works. Like, and it will work for you. It'll work for anyone who works the formula.
Exactly.
So just do it. And do it religiously. Do it consistently. If you go and you're like, yeah, I'll give it a try, it won't work. If it's hit and miss here and there, you know, 3 days a week, it won't work. But if you think, you know what, this is it. 24/7. I'm doing this.
Who I am.
That's who I am. This is how I roll. This is the new me. I'm doing this. And you don't have to tout it. You don't have to tell everyone about it. Just do it. Let your results do the talking.
Exactly.
This will change everything. And you'll go from suffering and misery and so much pain to literally after 21 years or more, wherever you are, to feeling like you live in a honeymoon. And it's amazing. It's worth every effort. But start with you and be that change and just go, I don't know. I love it. Get intense. Get crazy about it. Like it's your only obsession. That's it. Become obsessed.
Right here on my computer, I literally have a post-it note that I look at every day that says, obsess about the things you want.
Yep. And in this case, you want an extraordinary marriage? Get obsessed with it. And mostly that obsession has a drive on improving yourself. And watch what happens. It'll be amazing. And it can happen far sooner than you think. Okay. Love you guys. If you have more questions or you need help or you need coaching or tools or strategies, that's what we do every day, all the time. That's part of our life's work. Is to share the things that just work. Okay, love you guys. Reach upward.